This is a show about bodies. I have a body. You have a body.
We all have bodies. Bodies are weird. Bodies are funny. Bodies are good.
Here lies plenty of bodies, but we promise we aren't murderers.
If you feel squeamish about bodies, don't fear.
You'll find nothing but body positivity here.
Welcome to Beautiful Bodies. This is one of your lovely co-hosts, Alyssa. Welcome to another really good episode of your new favorite podcast. This episode is rough. Also, I apologize right now for the poor sound quality that's happening. The rest of the episode is actually going to be good. So, just some content warnings. This episode is about white supremacy, specifically in beauty standards, but we get into a lot of ways that white supremacy affects all sorts of angles of life. So we talk about violent hate crimes, murder, assault, child abuse, molestation, violence specifically against Black people. So this is not a particularly lighthearted episode, but it's jam-packed full of interesting discussion and some really positive hope for the future, we think. So we hope you enjoy. If it's going to be too rough on you, sit this one out. It's all okay. Enjoy Beautiful Bodies.
Hello, and welcome to Beautiful Bodies. I'm Alyssa Mazur.
I'm Willa Wallace.
And this is your regular dose of radical positivity. Woo! Got it out of the way. Didn't forget it this time.
I was, I'm in a group where they do, like, Free for All Fridays, and you can share, like, if you have, like, an Etsy or,
oh, okay, sure,
you know, whatever your craft thing is. And so I shared our podcast.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And then as I shared it, I was like, what on earth do I write to explain it? Totally forgot about our tagline. But
how do you explain
it? I explained around the tagline.
Good. I finished my temp job. Woohoo. This woman, as she was leaving, was asking me.
I was just so concentrated in putting down my glass of water without making a noise. And then as I took my hand away, I knocked over a lighter.
Okay. Super, super well done.
No, we're back.
I was talking to this woman as she was leaving. It was like, oh, yeah, like, I have social media. And I was like, oh, I don't. People say that. People say that, and then I don't know if they mean it. It's like, oh, you're going to learn a lot of things about me. And I was just, like, mentally debating this. And then as this conversation went on, without me really responding to the, oh, I have social media statement, as this conversation went on, we started talking about Pornhub. And I was like, yeah, okay, I guess I'll friend you on Facebook.
I was imagining, like, a 50-year-old.
Oh, no. Oh,
okay.
No. She's super cool. She's actually doing cosplay this weekend in Chicago. Yeah, she's super cool.
Comic-Con?
Yeah. Fuck it. I don't know.
That's what I would go to in Chicago.
A convention.
Is it like Schaumburg?
No, it's like Chicago.
Okay. We'll find out.
But then we were talking about the podcast, because we were talking about Pornhub. And I said, oh, yeah, I do this podcast with my friend. And in the last episode we recorded, I openly talked about Colin Farrell's sex tape. So, you know.
Oh, yeah, that did happen, didn't it?
Yeah. So, you know, we're out here living.
True. So, it's been a week.
A whole dang week.
Too long of a week.
How
was your week,
long.
Alyssa?
So just, long.
Alyssa's eyes are just sort of dark.
It was a rough week. It's okay, though.
Sadness under the floor.
Exactly, yeah. It was a rough week. It's fine, though. It's going to be okay. I have this week to relax and, like, get myself up on my feet.
Mm-hmm.
God, I have so much shit to do.
You're
it's
not
fine.
Gonna tell us about last week?
It's just long. It was just shitty. It's just life. It's just life garbage that comes at you and just exhaustion. It was nice. Okay, what I will say is that my last day at this temp job, people were very, very, very nice. A bunch of people brought in a lot of food, and they decorated my desk. It was very sweet. It was very wholesome.
Who would have thought?
I know. I wouldn't have thought. There were other people in other offices who I knew who were treated like garbage.
Ooh.
So I guess the people in my office are just super nice.
Good.
Yeah. How was your week?
At the moment, I don't remember.
Yeah. Big ups. So let's talk about...
oh, we did flooded. I want to talk about that.
Yeah.
Okay, so we had these crazy rains in Madison.
That's right, yeah.
And
way
so,
worse than in Milwaukee.
Yeah. So to give you an idea, Madison gets like 35 inches of rainfall in the year. And in 24 hours, in some places, we get up to 15 inches.
Yeah.
So, like, almost
and, like,
half.
I don't think people understand, like, I definitely don't even understand, like, the metric by which we say 15 inches is the way that it's accepted. But it's not, it's like a very, that's a very specific measurement per the
weather gods.
Per the weather gods. Because
true.
it's like some square footage.
Mm-hmm.
How much rain you get in that square footage, like, equals what you say. So, like,
yeah.
I'm, like, you can say, oh, we got 15 inches, but what that means is
mm-hmm.
it was hellfire. It
right.
Was...
and especially when you're in a city and all
yeah.
of the places where the rain would naturally go into the earth, that's now covered up by concrete and, like, you know, the roofs of giant buildings.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's not just 15 inches of rainwater, it's also 15 inches of displaced rainwater.
Yeah, and you're just, there are so many horrible pictures from this
ooh,
week
yeah.
of people just, like, their cars, like, submerged.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's my nightmare.
So fortunately, I'm on the side of Madison that didn't flood.
Yeah.
But it was scary for
yeah.
a while. Like, people were losing their power,
yeah.
and, like, there was, like, a citywide warning not to leave the house. So that's been going on. And so my sort of levels of pain are also tied to, like,
yeah.
the barometric pressure. And especially when it rains really heavily, that really affects my body. So I've just sort of been, like, in bed
yeah.
for the majority of the week.
Yeah. And then we just had a... asthma crisis.
Oh my god. Ah, Jesus. I still have imposter syndrome because I didn't get diagnosed till I was 20 or 21.
Yeah.
And
Willow is now 23. Willow had a birthday. Woo! We're actually celebrating that tonight.
I knew that was the huge thing of my week.
Yeah, that was a big part of your week, huh?
My that. Partner took me on this amazing day-long adventure. Dude, what was I just about to say?
You looked so cute in the pictures.
Thank
your little,
you.
Your little buns.
Oh, we kept coming home and I kept changing. Because I was like, I gotta get like a full
yeah.
week's worth of Instagram photos
yeah.
in on it.
That's, it was really cute, yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, and I thought Will was going to propose, but he didn't. It's okay. I just bought a ring sizer, so he couldn't have ordered it yet.
Oh, okay.
I use the, like, there's, like, a communal Wi-Fi lounge for my apartment complex, so I went over there, and there was, like, one other guy in the Wi-Fi lounge, and so I, like, went up to the computer, and I was, like, typing in, like, printable...
Oh, ring measurement, sure, yeah.
And I just sort of, like, felt his eyes on the back. What was I talking about before we got off topic with my lovely birthday?
Your week. And the barometric pressure, the flooding, the asthma crisis, my imposter
oh.
syndrome. You have imposter syndrome. Yep, got
we're
it.
Back. I have this really terrible...
Happy birthday, Willow. Talk
thank
about
you.
Imposter syndrome.
Where, like, because I didn't get diagnosed, so I was
yeah.
like 21. And even, I was, like, barely diagnosed.
Yeah.
Alyssa and I were hanging out, and I started to have an asthma attack.
And it was funny because Willow just, like, gets up without saying anything to me. Just gets up and starts rummaging through things. And then they sit down, just, like, kind of in a crumple. Just sit down and say, I knew I thought to myself the other day, man, I should really find my inhaler because I don't know where it is.
Oh, God.
And then it became a problem. Obviously, they're fine now or else we wouldn't be laughing.
Yeah, I am fine now. I'm probably talking a little weird because the steroids fuck up my vocal cords.
Yeah, we had... So, Will very nicely retrieved it.
He tore through everything. First, Alyssa looks through the apartment. And then Will looked through the apartment. He's like, why are you sitting on the floor in the closet? And I was like, I can't find my nails. Ah! But he found it. It was in my car.
Yeah.
Which doesn't make any sense.
Which I asked you if it could have been in your car.
I wouldn't have left in my car. So it must have fallen out of my bag. Mm. So, yeah. I'm okay. I'm just out of it.
Yeah. Because you literally took it, like, 5 minutes ago.
True.
Yeah. It's been such an exciting time.
Very true. Yeah, just heads up, if anybody's like me, if you feel like your lungs are, like, collapsing and, like, your heart beats crazy, crazy fast, you probably have asthma.
Yeah.
I've met a couple other people who didn't know, like, until they were under 20.
Oh, boy.
Okay, so last
How does that even happen?
Okay, I'll tell the story. Really. Okay.
Okay, good. I want to hear it.
Okay, so I have a friend who always had a terrible time running. Like, she just, like, felt like shit whenever she would do it. And she would complain to her mom, and her mom would be like, that's just, like, how running is.
Okay.
And she is bigger, so I think she had, like, maybe mentioned it to doctors before, and they were just sort of like, it's your fault because, like, you're heavy set. And,
got
like,
it.
You're trying to do physical activity.
I couldn't tell if by bigger you meant older.
No.
Or genuinely size bigger.
Size
got it.
Bigger.
We don't mess around with euphemisms here, folks.
And so it got to a point where it was, like, so, so, so bad, and somebody suggested to her that, like, maybe she had asthma.
Mm-hmm.
She went to the doctor, found out it was asthma, and then they found out that her mom had asthma, too.
Oh.
And that...
And neither of them knew, or...?
No, like, and that's what she was telling her daughter, like, yeah, running feels terrible. It feels, like, burning, like, you can't breathe, because that was her normal her entire life.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And that makes me think so much about, like, all of, like, the hoaxes, or, like, sort of false information we learn in health.
Yeah.
That then just gets, like, passed down generationally.
100%. Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I know.
Can you imagine? I still sometimes think about... You know, all of these dumb, so many, like, dumb jokes and shit had to come from somewhere and is being passed down through someone.
Ooh.
So you know there's someone out there who genuinely thinks drinking Mountain Dew lowers their sperm count.
Wow.
There's someone out there.
No.
There's someone out there who thinks if you wear tidy whities, it lowers your sperm count. There's someone, who knows?
Did we cover that in the podcast?
Definitely not.
Oh, maybe they covered it in Sawbones.
Maybe.
Yeah, Sydney walked through sort of like how the myth got started.
Oh. The myth was it the myth episode or was it the
maybe the myth episode.
All right, whatever.
Go
listen to Sawbones.
It's amazing. Yeah. But I didn't know that either for a really long time.
Yeah.
I think till I heard Sawbones because I read the articles.
Yeah.
You know, because I think
it's a lot of commonly accepted bunk.
And then everybody picked up on it.
Yeah. And there are just weirder ones out there. You know there's fucking...
I came from Waldorf school.
Yeah.
I do know.
Tell me the grossest thing you heard on the playground.
Oh, I mean, it was from the parents. That was...
That's fine. Hit it.
Well, we weren't allowed to stand by the microwave because of the...
Oh, yeah. We got that too. Yep.
Yeah. Definitely lots of talk of crop dusting.
What?
Yeah, like the thought is that the government puts like fluoride and other mind control.
Oh, because fluoride's a mind control drug. Got it.
Into a plane, and then they crop dust the people. So when you see those things in the sky, it's being dissipated, and we're breathing in the cooling.
Interesting.
Or, let's see, what's another good one? Definitely GMOs.
See, man, we. This is another reason that I really like Sawbones, is that they talk about, like, what the fuck does organic mean? It means carbon containing. I'm organic. You're organic. Every single, like, thing that grows out of the fucking ground is organic. Mm-hmm. Like, that's just dumb, dumb, fake words thrown around for no reason.
Yeah.
GMO is like, just because it's genetically modified doesn't mean it's bad, guys. Right. It actually makes it sometimes better.
Right.
Like,
although I will say with that episode, they could have gone into, like, how...
Ham's doing something.
My cat is. Like, policy-wise and legally, organic means a different
They mean
of
different
rules
things.
Than
non-organic, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, you should totally read into what they are.
Yeah.
You podcast listener.
Yeah.
We should... We could have given a bit there.
If we actually want to talk about it, we should just Skype call my sister, who works with cows.
Oh,
and,
I would love that.
Yeah.
That'd be really great.
Yeah. She has a lot of opinions, I'm sure.
I'm sure.
She posted a tweet about this cow she's studying licked her in the head, and I was like, yeah she kissed you.
Yeah,
rude.
Cows are super sweet.
Yeah, very, very, very sweet. A baby cow did step on her foot, which is a lot, but, you know, whatever.
They're huge.
Okay, let's talk.
Okay. So last week we almost jumped into it when Alyssa was like, okay, we're done with like 20 minutes.
Yeah, when it had been like almost an hour.
Yeah, and I was like, ugh. I thought we both thought.
I have no concept of time.
That's fine.
We had just had such a nice day.
Exactly.
We were just like hanging out talking. Mm-hmm. Oh, before we actually talk about, so we're going to talk about white supremacy and beauty standards.
Yeah.
Did you first want to talk about my favorite murder?
Yeah.
Because when I arrived in Madison, one of the first things Willow asked me was, do you want to talk about Karen and George's apology right now, or do you want to wait until we're recording? And I said, we gotta wait until we're recording, because we talked about it last time. So, take it away.
Okay, so, there was a handful of days where folks thought that, like, the apology episode was going to come out.
So for context, if you didn't listen last time, Karen and George are the hosts of a, like, true crime podcast called My Favorite Murder, and they released some culturally appropriative merchandise, and when they were called out for it, it became a huge...
dumpster fire.
It became a dumpster fire. Mm-hmm. And then some people on this Facebook group posted some really racist stuff, and the mods left it up.
Yeah.
And then the mods deleted it. And then it became like, oh, well, we're going to ask our mods to step down. Mm-hmm. And now there's this new rumor. Did you know this rumor? That so a bunch of people got blocked from the page.
Oh,
and so the original question was like, oh, well, these mods are horrible because these mods are blocking everybody who, like, is trying to, like, talk about the racism and is, like, trying to, like, be heard.
Yeah.
And then this new rumor is that Steven, I guess, who's the producer.
Yeah.
On My Favorite Murder, and also a mod of the Facebook page, or an admin of the Facebook page, told the mods to just block people who were arguing about it. I have no corroboration for this. I have no...
I could find receipts.
So that's what the mods said. The mods said, Steven told us to block people.
And
but then
screenshots.
Yeah, and then when pressed for receipts, they couldn't come up with anything.
Weird.
So they could just be using Steven as a scapegoat.
Yeah.
Whatever.
But I could see that. Like, especially
I could also see it. Especially if you just don't want to deal with it. It's like, these people don't matter.
Or
like,
you don't recognize, like, the privilege.
Yeah.
Just being like, oh, I don't understand. Like, if they're being, you know, quote unquote awful, just block them.
Yeah.
And not realizing the implications of
they're
it.
Not being awful. They're, like, talking about real appropriation and real, like, unacceptable behavior.
Yeah, so that's been a mess.
So we expected a episode to be released wherein they would apologize.
Yeah, and so first there was...
Because if you're a part of the My Favorite Murder, like, internet presence, like, it's been going on and it's a very big deal.
It is. So first they put out a mini-episode, didn't talk about it then.
Yeah.
And then they put out a live episode...
And, you know, I'm not talking about it then.
Right.
Because it's pre-recorded.
Yeah. And so, sort of, at this point, everybody's, like...
Pins and needles.
Exactly. And then more fights are happening and more breakout Facebook
groups. Many fights.
Yeah. And so then they finally released, like, a 5-minute apology.
Share it with us.
I bet I can find the transcript.
Or just talk to us about it.
So Karen was the only person who, like, actually apologized.
Okay. Was Karen the only one talking, or?
No, Georgia was there, too, but, like, similar with how she handled a lot of, like, the Facebook, social media
yeah.
stuff, she had that same sort of tone of, like,
yeah,
I don't understand why you guys are bothering
yeah.
me, like.
I don't understand why it's important, yeah.
Yeah, and also, like, playing the victim card.
Yeah, and, like, if you listen to the hundreds of people explaining to you why it's important, then maybe you wouldn't be so confused, but...
Yeah. So, mainly, Karen was talking about how, like, they are, like, from a certain time, and how...
The worst excuse.
And, like, how they're always learning, and, like, that they recognize that they're, like, you know, sort of middle-aged white women.
Sure.
And that means that they have, like, a lot of room to grow.
Sure.
And sort of, like... At multiple points where Karen is, like, explaining, like, here's where we sort of screwed up, and, like, here's what we've learned.
Yeah.
Karen, or Georgia jumps in and sort of, like...
Takes back the apology?
Yeah, like knocks it down a notch.
We're sorry, but...
Yeah, by being, like, well, you know, like, we might be, like, middle-aged white women, like, but... It's like, just don't talk.
Right? Yeah.
So people were really not pleased with that.
I can imagine.
And they didn't really talk about the shirts. It's
the
like
shirts.
They're two separate issues.
Yeah, of course. And I mean, they're going to keep selling the shirts.
Yeah. They did change it to an actual tent, though.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't notice that. That is very good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I know, you know, My Favorite Murder is such a popular podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked last time about how gross some of this, like, fetishization is of, like...
Murder?
Of murder. Of, like, real people who have lost their family and their friends and their loved ones who, like, have had something horrible befall them and you're making it into a joke. And, it doesn't matter, but...
You're treating the murder like you're the private fan club for that murder.
Yeah, which is... Disgusting.
Yeah.
But all that to say that people aren't perfect.
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't pleased with the apology.
No.
I'm glad that they put $10,000 where their mouth was.
And you know what's funny? Because literally we were just having a conversation. I was explaining to Willow about one of my favorite podcasts, My Brother and Me.
Yeah.
And about how when I tell people to watch that or to listen to that, show, I always say, like, you don't have to start before episode 300, because there's, as of, this last week, 421 episodes. They felt so much pressure to make make their 420th episode so funny that they skipped it. They went from 419 to 421.
That's pretty funny.
And I was just like, yeah, okay. but we were talking about how, like, they have been doing this for 8 years,
mm-hmm.
and in their earlier days, they had a lot of socially acceptable bigotry,
mm-hmm.
and had a lot of poor behavior. Sorry, I wasn't sure if that was ham or not.
Oh,
I was like, what's
it.
Happening?
I thought you were just glaring at
me. No. Yeah, get out. And they grew, and the kind of comedy that they do is worlds away from the kind of comedy they used to do, and yada yada yada, and like how you grow as a creator, and like listen to people who tell you that you're offending them,
mm-hmm.
because that's like the whole point is like they heard from their audience, this is not cool with us, and they were like, oh, okay, thanks for letting us know.
Yeah, I think what really gets me about how Georgia's been reacting to all of this is like, right, if this is actually like your career, right, like you're making this into your career, it's not just like a side project, then sort of flying off the handle and attacking everybody online, like,
that's really bad.
Like, you are obviously one, like, too big, right, to handle your own social media accounts, right?
Yeah, probably.
If you want to post stuff and not be attacked, then make like a private Instagram for your family and friends.
Yeah. Like, it's really hard because I don't think that they understand, I think this is the truth with a lot of famous people, mm-hmm. is that they don't understand why things matter, because mm-hmm. they just throw things out into the world and don't have to worry about it.
Right.
But people hang on their words. Right. Like, they're famous. Like, millions, their episodes are going to be downloaded millions of times.
Yeah.
Thousands and thousands and thousands of people are going to listen to these episodes. Like, it's, they're not us, you know? and so they have, like, a big responsibility to, like, to make sure that the content they're producing is not insulting and right. offensive and dehumanizing.
Yeah.
And exactly. especially dismissive of the people who try to say, hey, I love you and I love your product. Mm-hmm. And as a person who has been affected by what you've done or said, here's how I feel about it.
Yeah.
And you're just throwing that away.
Yeah. And it's extra disappointing because George is younger.
Yeah. It's got to be just defensiveness. It's got to be, oh, I don't like being told I'm wrong.
It's just such a stark immaturity.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
It was so uncomfortable to watch her just spiral and scream at people on Instagram.
Yeah, I know. That was a whole different thing.
It was so awkward.
Yeah, we wanted to touch on it, though, because we touched on it last time.
Yeah. So a great example of how not to do an apology.
Yeah.
And, oh, that was another thing that really upset some of the online communities I'm in. There's a point where they were like, yeah, you know, like, we talked to some other podcasts about this. And people were really upset, like, well, why didn't you talk to, like, the affected communities?
Oh, yeah.
That are upset the way you did, yeah. And it's just like, yeah.
So, yeah, because they don't matter.
Yeah, so I'm I'll talk
to. It's like how Congress just talks to each other.
Oh yeah,
and to other rich people.
Mm-hmm. Poor people seem to have too much money, so let's tax their soda.
Yeah,
brilliant,
100%. And man, see, I struggle a lot because I think that cigarettes are disgusting, and like it's really, really, really unfortunate that the government like made people addicted to them.
Yeah.
It's, like, super, super, super shitty that it's, like, it was, like, a purposefully run campaign to get communities of color and, like, queer communities
yeah.
and, like, disadvantaged communities into cigarettes and then, you know, boost the price. You're addicted to mm-hmm. this substance. Ugh, yeah. so
and then
bad.
Claim that there's some economic model that says that if you increase taxes, people will buy less.
Yeah.
It's really gross.
It's really gross. Okay, whatever. We're not an economics podcast.
Thank
hey,
fucking
God. Can I, but we need to talk about white supremacy and beauty standards,
we
but
do.
But I want to say I started listening to this podcast called Hey Riddle Riddle,
mm-hmm.
and it's three improv comedians reading each other riddles and, like, trying to solve lateral thinking problems,
ugh.
And it's so fucking good.
That sounds like a headache.
It's hilarious.
I just feel, like, heinously inadequate.
Okay, actually, they're terrible at them.
I
almost always solve the puzzle, and they almost always have not.
Okay, interesting.
They're not puzzle solvers. They're literally just comedians.
Huh.
I actually have gotten very annoyed before because I come up with the answer,
oh
and they're still fucking chit-chatting, and I'm like, come on!
Okay.
But obviously, the point is comedy. The point is not to solve the riddle. Whatever. It's a HeadGum podcast. It's really good.
Okay, so that's your promo.
That's my promo of the week. Also, I'm wearing my Thinks underwear. We don't have sponsors, but I was really excited. I wanted to say.
Someday.
Someday. my Thinks underwear, THINX. And it's
THINX.
Yeah, it's special underwear that's very absorbent. So it's for menstruation purposes mostly, but you
so
can.
How does it work?
It's
like, where's the blood going?
It's going into the underwear.
All of the underwear?
No, I think just the normal
crotch.
Place. Yeah, but it absorbs. The pair I'm wearing absorbs up to a tampon.
Whoa.
Yeah.
And it doesn't get gradually moister?
No, it doesn't get moister. It stays dry.
Where
it leaves
it
you
go?
Feeling dry. Yeah, they're machine
amazing.
Washable.
Oh my God.
Yeah, they're very comfortable. They don't feel, like, bulky or at all
That's
weird.
Wild.
Yeah, I love them. I'm very happy.
Oh, you're living in the future.
I am. It's my dream product. They were expensive, but they were worth it.
Yeah, we have friends who go camping with those.
Oh, that's such a good idea.
Yeah.
Such a good idea. That would, yeah, owning these, being on my period and having to do things is the worst.
Yeah.
And so owning these is, like, a really, really, really good push to, like, go do things while I'm on my period and not just sit around and be uncomfortable.
Nice.
Yeah. Okay. Would you like to take it away?
I think I would. let's see. How did it get sparked? Did we see, was there, like,
a... It was a...
Facebook?
I believe you sent me a Tumblr screenshot.
Sounds likely.
Let's see if I can find it. So it's a Tumblr post. It says, hot take, you can't divorce beauty culture from white supremacy. Examples. Do you want me to list the examples or you want to just
do
talk?
It.
Okay. The mass popularity of contouring to make your face fit white European / American beauty ideals, high cheekbones, small nose, little to no facial fat, etc. Then the second one is Snapchat and Instagram filters that are designed to make people quote-unquote beautiful, but almost universally lightened skin, chiseled noses, slim jawbones. Then the increasing popularity of hair extensions, which are far more common in quote-unquote white hair types than quote-unquote ethnic hair types. Then racialized features such as women's facial hair, monobrows, thick body hair being unacceptable. And finally, white and light-skinned beauty Instagrammers exploiting black culture for their hashtag brand whilst remaining incredibly racist and anti-black themselves. And those are just a few.
Yeah.
And so Willow sent this to me, and it's super important. I think that as someone who really, 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 really loves makeup and beauty and all that kind of stuff, this is just so obvious and, like, so... True. It's not just, like, mainstream beauty culture, though. It's, like, well, it's in every aspect of beauty culture, where it's, like, the makeup being produced. Who is it being produced for? Who is it being produced by? What is the purposes that it's being produced for? Like, and then there are other, like, non-makeup items. Like, I know we're going to talk about, like, skin whitening.
Right.
And other things like hair removal, like that post mentioned, and, you know, even surgery to, like, shape your nose or your jaw.
Your whole face.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, you're doing great, and my brain is running away on the train track. Okay.
That's okay.
Okay, so I was reading this great article called The Problem with Beauty Standards by Dylan Matamore, and this is from Medium. And they're talking about sort of how if white is, like, the background, right? If you are, you're not, like...
It's race neutral.
It's race neutral.
Yeah.
Beauty is also, right, like, incorrectly coded...
As race neutral. Got it.
Right.
Yeah.
Because you walk into Walgreens and I could find like 15 shades for my pale skin. Right. And if you're a woman of color, you have darker skin.
Yeah. Especially dark skin, black women.
You either one will not have any options.
Yeah. Especially at like a drugstore.
Right. Where most people that I know do 100%
of their cosmetic purchases.
Exactly, yeah. So sort of like understanding both of those in the same context.
And that's really interesting because I was just thinking about like how incredible it was when Fenty, the Fenty products were released and it was like such a wide range of colors. But I'm thinking that foundation was like $50 or something. Like,
it was hella expensive.
That's like you've got to have that money to do it.
True. Right.
And it's a lot easier for me to just go to Walgreens and get $20 foundation if I need. I go to Ulta, but whatever. It's fine.
Yeah, fair. I bought Fenty.
Yeah, I have a lot of Fenty lip products and a highlighter.
Yeah.
Really, really good. God bless Rihanna.
God bless Rihanna.
We don't deserve her. You look so stressed.
I'm so stressed.
Will is just staring so anxiously at their phone.
I think it's like, because after I have an asthma attack and I use my inhaler,
it
makes my heart beat crazy fast.
Yeah, it's a big adrenaline rush.
So I think my body's just saying,
it's
danger.
Yeah.
What I wanted to talk about is similarly with the makeup and the makeup shades.
Mm-hmm.
Like, today I was at Target, and there's always, like, ethnic hair.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Which is, like, an end cap.
Yeah.
And then it's, like, every other product is situated as though it's, like, the normal product.
The norm. It doesn't need an adjective.
Yeah. I saw a video the other day of, like, a big box store similar to Walmart where, you know how, like, when there were Tide Pods, they would put up those, like, plastic covers that were locked?
Yeah.
So they had...
So dumb.
So dumb. But they had those only over the ethnic hair products.
I saw that.
Yeah. And not over...
How fucked up.
So fucked up.
You know what else I want to say? Off topic, but this happened in Milwaukee last week. Have you seen that viral video of the guy getting pulled over and the cops are pointing a gun at him and he's throwing his hands out the window and he's like, why are you pointing at me? And they literally say, you can hear it on the video word for word, because you're not white.
Fuck.
And that was in Milwaukee. It was last week.
They've become self-aware.
It's just so, it's completely idiotic. It's so, you're not only a big dumb racist, you're a big dumb racist. Like, ooh.
Yeah.
Whatever.
That's terrifying.
Yeah.
But so it's important to understand that, like, in terms of beauty, sort of whiteness is the norm and is, like, the expected.
Yeah.
Right? And especially 100%. With, like, countries that have been colonized by like, European countries, it's, like, when you see that the people in color are fairer shades.
Yeah.
That, like, ripples down throughout the whole society and, like, has a really big impact.
Mm-hmm.
One of the articles I was reading is from Mary Rose Abraham, and she's a reporter out of India.
Oh, yeah. This is super good.
Yeah. So she was talking about how crazy the whitening products are over there.
Because that's a big industry for India.
Huge. Yeah. I have a statistic here. Global spending on skin lightening is projected to triple to $31 billion by 2024.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's already booming, right? I remember doing a project and, like, sort of, like, vaginal lightening creams came up in the project, and I'd never heard of them.
Yeah.
Right? And, like, that was sort of my first tip-off, like, that this is a thing that was happening,
mm-hmm.
right? And, of course, I was never made to think about it because I'm so fair-skinned.
Yeah, of course.
I think the first time... So, let's see, I lived in a house in high school where they had foreign exchange students,
mm-hmm.
and one of the students living with us was from Thailand,
mm-hmm.
and me and a friend were going out to go tanning, and she was just sort of, like, horrified that I was going out to tan.
Yeah, because why would you want to be darker?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, we literally had to sit down, because she was like, I need you to explain to me this, right? And, like, she would go around everywhere with, like, an umbrella.
Yeah.
And you can even find these products, like, in Ulta. Like, they have, like, brightening serum.
I'm sure that's at Walgreens or CVS,
Absolutely.
Too. It's so ubiquitous.
Yeah, so it's super fucked up in India.
We promise that this episode won't be super sad the whole time.
Won't it?
No, we'll bring it back around at the end.
Okay. Let's see. So I didn't really understand how this worked. So I have a little blurb for us.
The lightening cream?
How that works.
Yeah, go for it.
So most skin lightening creams target the skin's ability to produce pigment.
Melanin.
Melanin.
Yeah.
So everybody has about the same number of cells to make melanin, but how much you wind up producing is down to your genes.
Yep.
And so when exposed to the sun, the body produces more melanin to absorb harmful UV rays and protect skin cells. So that's what's going on with the sun. And then for the products themselves, they can be made with soy, licorice, or boudin, sometimes with hydroquinone, which is a carcinogen, so that's killing you.
Fun.
Also, mercury.
Wow!
Yep. And a lot of people do a chemical peel where it takes off multiple layers
of skin,
which just makes you even more fragile.
God, right? Chemical peels look so painful.
Yeah, they fucking do. My sister-in-law does them, and She just sort of looks raw.
Yeah, yuck.
Oh, I know.
Oh, God. I don't want to think about chemically burning off my face skin.
Yeah, right. And what's crazy is, like, it's such a standard. And what she was saying is, like, if you aren't light-skinned, you're going to have a really hard time getting married.
Yeah.
Or your parents are going to have to pay more for the dowry.
Yeah.
There are stories of people needing to get lightened before the wedding. Yeah, and then, right, like, coming away with, like, really terrible, like, chemical burns.
Yeah, shocker.
People give themselves injections to lighten your skin.
It's, like, a real cultural standard that, absolutely. Like, you should feel bad about your skin.
Yeah, and what's scary is a lot of the pharmacies there, you can buy just sort of, like, steroid creams.
Mm-hmm. Just over-the-counter?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And even when there's been pushes to make it, like, doctor-recommended,
yeah.
only 35% of, like, the drugstores even have, like, a licensed pharmacist there.
Oh, okay.
So basically people buy these steroid creams, they put it all over their body to lighten their skin. But then what happens is for, like, serious conditions like eczema, because everybody's been using the steroid creams, the bug's resistance goes up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course.
So what they're saying is around 70 to 90% of those affected by fungal infections, similar to eczema, would have used topical steroids for treatment and they would respond within 2 weeks. Now we have to give 4 times the dosage for 8 to 12 weeks. It's an epidemic across the entire country.
That's interesting. I wouldn't have thought of that, but that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Which... it's just terrifying, right? Like, one, the idea of superbugs, like, keeps me up at night.
I know. Don't you hate that? Ooh. The last time I got an antibiotic, the doctor, like, started to remind me and, like, you have to finish it. And I was like, I know all about antibiotic resistance.
I listened to Sawbones.
You won't fucking catch me leaving any pills in this bottle. That kills me.
Oh, my God. Yeah, right, you're like, when I was watching the kids and I...
Superbugs are going to be the way we die, by the way.
That's like.
We're screwed. Measles is back.
Oh my God.
Okay, go ahead.
Like, talking to these adorable children about, like, antibiotic resistance and, like, how it's perpetrated.
Nice.
Beautiful. Okay, yes.
And so, beauty standards. Man, because, so we were talking about, you must have heard or seen, it's, like, very culturally, I don't know what the word relevant? I'm looking for is.
Applicable?
Yeah, culturally, it's in the zeitgeist. It's in the... it's in the zeitgeist?
Yeah. Is that Yiddish?
No, it's German.
Oh.
It's, it means, like, the air, the collective consciousness.
Oh, okay. Not my 4 years of German, just down the drain.
I think it's German.
I believe you. I was... very young.
It is, but it's not like a, it's like a, you know, the way we've co-opted a bunch of French words, you know.
True.
every time I hear that now, I just think of the live action Beauty and the Beast.
Oh,
I fucking love that movie.
You do?
I love it so much.
They screwed up his weight.
I love it so much.
The CGI is horrific.
I love it so much.
It makes me so uncomfortable that my skin crawls.
I literally don't care. I love it so much.
Oh my God.
Now I just have to think about that song he sings at the end when she's running away.
Yeah. Okay. Bring it back.
Okay.
We should do a whole episode of Disney movies.
We absolutely should. Let's fucking talk about fucking...
The Beast.
okay, let's move on.
And The Beast.
Fuck, what was I just saying?
I don't know.
What's in the zeitgeist? Oh, okay. Oh. Got it.
No,
it was, it was, thanks for sitting through our short commercial break. it's the idea that, like, mixed babies are really cute, that, like, mixed kids are so cute. Like, yeah. I have to, like, be married to someone who will give me mixed kids, yada, yada.
Oh, a little mulatto baby.
Exactly, yeah, exactly. Jesus. That's, like, a big thing.
Who just
That's
did like, that? Kylie Jenner?
Yeah.
Yeah, and when she was talking about the baby, she's, yeah. like, talking about, like, how full the baby's lips are.
Yeah, and, like, all that.
And then she
fucked up beauty
whipped
standards.
Out those. I don't think that you could take out lip implants.
You can't.
No, she did.
What?
Yeah.
You know, I thought she just got lip injections, which are, like, temporary.
No, she got lip implants.
Huh.
Oh. And then they took him out.
Oh, well, I guess you can, because you can take out breast implants.
I'm just trying to, like, is it like a little tube that they slice and put inside of your lip? That's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, I can hardly look at, I support body modification if it makes you happy, but scrolling through Instagram and seeing all of the swollen, puffy lips.
Yeah, I'm not.
That are so artificially just, like, full of shit
junk.
From a syringe makes me hurt. Okay.
Yeah. There's a, we should, let's not talk about it right now, but we should talk about body modification.
Oh, I'd love that.
It's definitely on our list already.
Oh,
but
gosh,
that's
evergreen.
That's a huge list. Okay, so, mixed babies, and like, the whole concept is that like, you want your child to be dark, but not too dark. You want your child to have like, Beyonce, Zendaya.
Mm-hmm.
Halle Berry.
Yeah.
What's her name? Really, the sci-fi one.
I love her.
I know, she's so good.
What's her name for
What's
that?
Her name? The sci-fi one. I don't want to Google it. No, I'm going to get it. Zoe Salonga. Zoe, is that her name? What's her last name? Zoe.
Saldana?
Zoe Saldana.
Is that it?
Yeah, that's gotta be it.
Oh, yes, that's beautiful.
Her, you know, those, and who are all wonderful, gorgeous women.
Yeah.
Versus Lupita Nyong'o, who's also a beautiful, gorgeous woman, but darker skin.
Right, exactly.
And it's very telling that that's the only person I can name off the top of my head.
The woman in How to Get Away with Murder?
Ooh, Viola Davis.
And didn't she just get a big deal award that was, like, totally radical for a woman of color?
Maybe.
I think that she did.
I love Viola Davis.
Me too. Your varying level of whiteness.
Yeah.
Right, determines, especially in beauty, like, how desirable that you are.
Absolutely. That's something that, like, Kanye West said once was, like, he's talking about, like, his background and like his culture, and he says, you know, we want mixed babies, we want, I don't remember what he called them, whatever, I don't want to say the wrong thing and be like, Kanye West never said that. But yeah, it's like a big deal that's mm-hmm. like, that's the beauty standard.
It almost reminds me of when white women wanted to get the right to vote.
Yeah, but, like, fuck black women.
No, right.
Like,
yeah, but they were like, no, like, you guys can't, like, come up the ladder with us. We gotta get this first.
We'll get this first, and then we'll come back for you.
And it's the same thing with, like, appropriating black.
Yeah, it's 100% the same thing.
Features.
It's 100% the same thing. It's, we're gonna do this first, and we'll come back for you. Yeah. It's not always, maybe super, like, conscientious. But, like, there are, so, who's the, Amanda Stanberg, Amanda.
Oh, from Mamma Mia.
No.
Oh.
that's a totally different person.
Who is that?
Amanda Stenberg was the girl from the little black girl in The Hunger Games.
Oh.
And now she's like stupid famous.
Good.
And
good
so cute. And so she dropped out of the Black Panther auditions because she said, I thought it wouldn't be right for me as a biracial, light-skinned American to be playing the role. Black Panther is one of the only films that we have that has darker-skinned representation. That's what's so beautiful about it. And then Zendaya has been talking about lately how she's, like, purposefully going out for roles written for white women rather than taking roles away from other black actresses.
Yeah.
Which I think is so cool.
Where it's like,
nah, that shit that belonged to those white people, that's mine now. That's
it's
the
working.
Shit I like. I think it's working. I mean, everybody loves Zendaya.
How could you not?
How do you not love Zendaya?
Did you share that video with me where she's, like, making eye love to the new Spider-Man boy?
No, I didn't share that with you, but...
Did you see it?
But I love it.
Where he's singing, it's like singing in the rain.
Yeah.
And then he goes into like...
The umbrella.
Raining. Oh!
Yeah.
And he dresses up like Rihanna.
It's so cute.
Yeah,
Tom Holland is a really, really, really good boy.
Tom Holland. Yes.
He's a really good boy.
He always reveals things early to us because he loves us so
Marvel fucking hates him.
Well, they stop every other Spider-Man.
But then they fucked him. Then Mark Ruffalo. So Tom Holland was famous for, like, fucking leaking shit. And then Mark Ruffalo leaves his Instagram live on during a screening of, before the movie came out, before this most recent big one. This one that just happened.
Baby, what was the last Marvel movie?
What was the big crossover?
Infinity War.
Wow! Good job, Willow. dab on him.
When Infinity War came out,
he went to, like, the premiere or a screening or something with Instagram Live on his pocket. It was really funny. It was only on for a few minutes, I think.
Thank God.
It was really, really funny.
So much.
Yeah. But, so then, also, I saw somewhere that Zendaya is being considered for the live-action Little Mermaid. Which, as a huge Little Mermaid fan, mm-hmm. I would shit myself over. I would love it. She's beautiful. She's an amazing voice. She could absolutely do it. And who's that? There's this redhead on...
Ariana Grande.
No.
Okay, people want her to be the Little Mermaid.
Do they really?
Did you see the fan-made video?
No.
He looks so realistic, I thought it was real. I'm serious.
No, I was going to say there's a redhead on Riverdale, which I don't watch.
Oh, fuck that bitch.
There's a redhead on Riverdale that Riverdale fans are just so thirsty for that they've been putting her in so many edits for, like, anything they can think of. And
like
so,
Little
yeah.
She's not big enough. She doesn't deserve the Little Mermaid.
Well, I don't... Yeah. I'm not sure anybody deserves The Little Mermaid, but some people have to earn it. I think Zendaya's earned it.
Okay. I can agree with that.
I also just feel so terrible about the way we treat young women in Hollywood.
Oh,
the way we treat all women in Hollywood.
But
especially, like, with the issue of, like, sexualizing young bodies.
Oh,
and,
my
like,
God. Like, sexualizing 11?
Yeah. Shit.
Poor sweet baby.
I know that poor girl when... So, Millie Bobby Brown...
Didn't she get voted, like, the sexiest woman
Hollywood? Yeah, how fucking disgusting is that?
She's a baby.
She's literally a child. You're fucking predatory, disgusting fucks.
Yeah.
Really bugs the shit out of me. And then also, like, I guess, I don't fucking know how people know this. I don't know what a 12-year-old is doing dating. Maybe she's not 12. I don't know how old she is.
I dated while I was 12.
Maybe she's 13. I guess I
shouldn't follow my life.
But it doesn't matter if she's dating. What matters is that apparently she was dating and she broke up with her boyfriend and, like, all these newspapers are covering it. And it's like, why the fuck are you touching up on a kid's love life? Leave her the fuck alone.
No.
Wow, I just feel so bad for all these horrible I feel so bad for all these babies who are just getting defeated by Hollywood.
Speaking of Hollywood,
yeah,
do you want to teach us about contouring?
Did
I say it wrong?
Contouring. That's not what you said, but okay. I really don't have anything extra to add to what we already said, but it's been a tradition for ages. It's not new. It's just more now, I don't know, someone who is more immersed would probably be able to come up with, like, a better explanation of why it's so popular now. I'm sure it has something to do with, like, how, like, the popularity of makeup videos, mm-hmm. and there's been just really effective advertising from makeup companies these last few years. A lot of new products, a lot of new ways. There's so much, like, available now in media of, like, inspo and, like, get this look and, like, makeup being, like, an entertainment industry.
Right.
And so I think that and, like, seeing, because people... who are going to be in front of cameras are contoured. Mm-hmm. People who are going up on stage, especially.
Yeah.
It's stage makeup is what it is.
Right.
And that's what gets me when I see these looks, like these really elaborate looks being done on YouTube. And then I see people in real life who look like that. I'm like, you look great. I love that you want to do what you want to do. Mm-hmm. But, like, it looks so different face to face than it looks on stage or on a camera.
Or in front of your, like, 5,000 makeup lights.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And I just just feel like maybe the beauty industry is lying to people a little bit about the normalcy of contouring, maybe.
Yeah. Well, and there's people at Beloit who wear a full face of makeup like that every
day. Oh, yeah, 100%. I used to, I mean, I've never contoured.
Contouring is like a whole thing.
It's too much work for me. I don't care.
I watch so many videos of people contouring, and I think what gets me...
It's also a lot of makeup that you have to buy that I don't want to pay for.
So much makeup.
Yeah.
And, like, a lot of the time...
I did contour the year that I did Trixie Mattel for Halloween.
But but what you see is that the darker that your skin is, contouring
is more difficult.
Well, contouring is a way to really lighten up your skin tone.
Yeah.
Right? Because you pick your brightest
because that's
and a medium and a dark. And you can go really, really light.
Yeah.
And it makes your face look even smaller, right? Yeah. But it's bringing up your complexion.
Yeah. It's very, it's also people contouring specific face shapes that they find attractive.
Right. Like, minimize all pudge.
Yeah.
Smaller.
Exactly. That's the thing. It's like drawing lines under your chin to, reduce the roundness of your face is a very big thing.
Yeah, like a perfect
narrowing your nose. Oh, limiting the length of your forehead, making your forehead seem smaller.
Yeah.
Making your cheekbones more prominent.
Bigger eyes, bigger lips.
Yeah.
I can't tell you, there's this girl I went to high school with. She's a makeup artist. And so, you know, she does full face of makeup every day going to work. I totally get that. It's your brand. But she'll outline.
She overdraws her lips.
Half a centimeter above. And you can see because it's...
Yeah, they don't care. They know that it's visible. Like, nobody overdraws their lips thinking, yeah, that looks normal.
Okay, I'm going to take your word for it. I think I was just hoping that they didn't know, because it's so awful.
No, they definitely know.
Jeez.
They just think that it looks good. I've seen some people who overdraw really, but it's all drag queens. All the looks that I think look good with overdrawn lips are all drag queens.
I'd love to do a drag queen episode.
Yeah, we definitely will. I have a lot of thoughts.
Great, because I'm just looking at it from the outside.
Yeah. Oh, boy. A lot of RuPaul's Drag Race drama this week.
Really?
One of the queens from a recent season, her name is Pearl.
Mm-hmm.
On the show, she was having a really rough time being around Ru and, like, had a lot of clash with Ru.
Yeah.
And was saying, like, oh, well, I might just leave. Like, I don't think this is what I want. And everybody was like, why are you being so ungrateful? And at the time, like, on the show, it made her look kind of, like... stupid.
Yeah.
And she just recently did an interview where she said, like, one of the very first days they were recording, she had an opportunity to, like, the cameras were, like, on break or something, and she had an opportunity to turn to RuPaul and say, like, I love you so much. I'm so grateful that I'm here. You mean so much to me. And Ru said to her, nothing you say matters unless those cameras are rolling.
What the fuck?
And so Pearl explained, like, that's why I was feeling really shitty about it, because my idol just told me that I don't matter.
What a diva.
And this confirms something that I've thought for a really long time, that RuPaul doesn't give a fuck about these people, and it's all a ploy to stay relevant. It's all just RuPaul trying to maintain her legacy.
Jesus.
And I mean, it's working, obviously.
Yeah, people...
And people get super famous off of her. Like, all the queens who have won or been on RuPaul's Drag Race are more famous because they were on it.
Right, exactly.
So it is boosting careers.
Yeah.
It's also making RuPaul a ton of money and helping her stay relevant. Whatever, we'll do it. So many tangents.
You obviously know a lot.
Every episode is just an exercise in tangents with us, huh? You get a good 20 minutes of, like, the actual topic, and then the rest of the hour is...
Isn't that really what political science...
It's all a diversion.
Exactly. So, also in the world of colorism and racism...
Yeah.
We've had some murders lately.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Yeah.
All
with varying levels of media coverage.
Yeah. So, let's talk for a hot second about the fact that anyone being fucking murdered... Unless you're a Nazi or a rapist, is a tragedy.
Yes.
If you're a Nazi or a rapist, I don't care if you get murdered. Real talk. That's me saying this right now. I don't care if you get murdered. But it's like, So this guy, I don't even know if we know, I'm sure we know the guy's name and I don't remember it.
Let's not say it anyway.
This guy who went up to Naya or Nia.
Oh.
Does it say what her...
I thought we were talking about the Colorado family.
Oh, who, the guy who killed his wife and kids?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so let's talk about that guy.
Okay. White family.
White family, this guy. It's family annihilator. That's what these guys are, where yeah. That's the term for people who kill their sibling, who kill their spouse and kids.
Yeah.
So
he went on live TV saying that, like, his wife and his kids were missing.
Yeah.
He was begging for their return. And then a couple hours later, it comes out that he murdered them.
Yeah.
And it has been getting nonstop media coverage.
And if you Google it, you don't see his mugshot. You don't see... It's all pictures of him with his family. It's happy all family happy, photos. Wholesome, mm-hmm. white picket fence, good American family vibe.
Right, and the horror is, how can this happen to, like, a good white family?
Yeah. And it's not like, that guy's a fucking psycho, that guy's a criminal, that guy, like, is a horrible person. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, how sad.
Right, exactly.
It's just disgusting. Yeah. And then in comparison, we have... Molly Tibbetts, right?
Right.
Who was this girl who went out on a run in Iowa. Mm-hmm. She was house-sitting for her boyfriend, went out on a run, and never came back.
Right.
And
because she refuted.
So, so what happened, they found her body, and I'm not trying to be crass, but I feel like if you follow true crime, you know that 48 hours, you're gone, basically.
Absolutely.
Like, it's tragic. It's so horrifying, the fact that men can walk around just fucking killing women with no remorse or regret, and just fucking, like, violence against women is so acceptable and, like, so disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
It's really hard and really bad. I'm sorry.
It's awful.
Yeah. And so they found her body, and the story became, oh, this quote-unquote illegal immigrant was the guy who murdered her. And it becomes this whole thing of, oh, well, this wouldn't have happened if we had a fucking wall.
Right, exactly.
but we're not paying attention, or, I mean, you don't get the same grief when it's a white American citizen who killed his entire family.
Right, or there was just the man the other day who murdered... a teenager.
Yeah.
For raping his daughter.
Yeah, good for
and
him.
All over the news, they have, like, a mugshot from when he was, like...
From when he was, like, a little...
Yeah, way younger.
Yeah.
And, one, that's not getting a lot of media coverage, and two, the coverage it does get is, like, you know, look at this piece of shit.
Yeah.
And, like, what he did, because he is a man of color who killed a white man, versus all of the happy... like, professional headshots of the Colorado man who murdered his entire family. And I think it's because she confronted him because he was cheating on her.
Yeah, it was something like that. It was something of his own problems. There's something else of... right. Oh, fuck. This is fucking wild.
Okay.
So, posts started coming out. People started talking about how, like, Molly Tibbetts was liberal and wouldn't have wanted people to make her death about...
And her family.
Yeah. And, like, her family was saying this. Yeah. Her family would not want this. She would not want this to be taken away from her, from, like, her short life. Like...
Yeah.
Like,
and
that's,
the family...
And now... They're getting death threats.
What?
They're getting threats. They're getting, like... It's like... You... It's so unbelievable to me. It's the same thing over the fact that they're saying this.
They're
Yeah. And, who's the guy? It's so sad, that woman who was killed in Charlottesville at the white supremacist rally, the woman who's run over by her car, or run over by a car, her grave has to be hidden. Where she is buried is a secret because her mother has gotten so many threats.
Jesus.
You have to hide the burial place of someone who gave their life fighting against white supremacy because literal white supremacist Nazis want to fuck up her grave. That's the state of America.
And so her name is Heather Heyer.
Yeah. And her mom is just
fighting
the good fight. I can't imagine. I can't imagine
she's absolutely
doing that.
Processing the grief by just constantly talking about how, like, we need
to good for her. There are a lot of parents from school shootings who are doing that, too.
What else is there to do?
I know. And it shows a lot of strength that you're able to get up and say something rather than just fucking losing it. Like,
yeah.
It's so horrible. But then we have Nia Wilson.
Right.
Who was killed at a gas station.
I think she was taking the train.
Really?
Yeah, she's taking the BART.
Okay, go ahead, talk.
Okay. So she was, on a train waiting place and sort of back in, a zone. And this guy jumped back and absolutely destroyed her sister. And almost killed her. Right. Do you have the sister's name?
No. Oh, Latifah.
Latifah Wilson. And basically the way that this is being treated as if it's, like, no big deal.
He was literally lying in wait.
Yes, exactly. So he premeditated.
It's premeditated. He was lying in wait and launched a vicious attack with a knife against them. It was at a BART train station. I don't know why I thought gas station.
Mm-hmm. And, he's already lawyered up. They already have a handful of appeals in. They're already trying to say that it wasn't premeditated. And this is getting next to no media coverage.
Although many have concluded that the attack was racially motivated, authorities claim they don't yet have evidence to back that up. Sure. There are literally, not that this really has, this has to do with, the way that we rank the importance of lives.
Right.
Of your life matters if you're white. And your life doesn't matter if you're not.
Right, exactly.
And that's what I've been trying to explain to people. that's the whole point, that, you only get attention, and you only get love, and you only get sorrow if you're white. And also, then, in Molly Tibbetts' case, you only get sorrow if you're a white racist, I guess.
Jesus, right. And for those, they have beautiful photos and, photo montages and, big collages,
And there are people all over the country, freaking out about Molly Tibbetts.
Oh, yeah.
Who's a white girl who didn't blink an eye for Nia Wilson.
Exactly.
And, oh my gosh, did you read about that guy who was defending his wife from a guy? Maybe that's where I got gas station.
Oh.
There's this video of this black man defending his wife from some guy who was yelling at her in a gas station. There's a security camera. This black guy walks up and shoves the white guy who's yelling at his wife, and he takes out a gun and shoots him. He shoots the black guy dead in front of his wife.
Holy fucking shit.
Yeah.
Because the black body is viewed as that much of a weapon in itself.
Yeah.
And disposable. Jesus. Okay, wait. So to go back to Nia Wilson.
Yeah.
A positive thing that the family is doing is they want to create the Nia Wilson Crime Statistics Notice.
Nice.
So it's kind of like the Clergy Act in Title IX.
Okay.
So for colleges, if anything illegal happens, the school and the police department, have to take a note of it, and then that gets told to the campus, so that people can be aware of their surroundings and, know what to prepare for, and what the parents here of Nia were saying is that, if she had known that there were these other attacks happening, maybe things would have gone differently. And just so that this doesn't have to happen in the future type of thing.
Yeah.
And it sounds part of the lawsuit, but that part is being sort of accepted and it's going better.
Good.
There's another story of Chiquizia Clemens, who was, maybe you've seen the video. There's a black girl who's getting beaten by two white police officers on the floor of a McDonald's.
Oh, yeah.
And it's gotten zero media attention, right?
Yeah.
Even though there's a video of it.
Because nobody cares.
Nobody cares. Exactly.
It's we literally, we literally just don't care. We have so much proof. We have so much evidence. We have so much data that shows the violence and dehumanization and cruelty that white people and people in power are capable of inflicting upon black people, and we literally don't care. We just don't give a fuck. We're like, yeah, Sandra Bland can get carted off to jail mm-hmm. and hanged
yeah.
by police officers.
Absolutely.
And nobody gives a fuck.
Mm-hmm.
And when, like, it's just disgusting. Like,
we're with Eric Garner.
You're strangled on camera and saying I can't breathe.
Things.
You're strangled on camera, and the only person who gets in trouble is the guy recording the video.
Naturally.
I think he's still in prison.
Yeah. It's so fucked up. There was also the little black girl who was attacked and assaulted by an older white man. Who came over, called her racial slurs, and then started
That's to... right, he started to pee!
He peed on her. And the mom is, like, freaking out and trying to get media attention, and she's being really fucking vocal about the fact that, like, people aren't paying attention.
Yeah.
And that, like, the police are saying, well, we don't know that it was motivated by race.
Well, who at this point, who gives a fuck if it's motivated by race? It's a grown man whipping out his dick and peeing on a little girl.
Yeah, one, if that doesn't faze you.
If that doesn't faze you, it's because she's black and you're a fucked up human being.
Right, and it is clear as day that it's because she's
yeah.
black.
Yeah. And then that's also, like, a trend with all of these people who start calling the police, who's that kid selling, I don't know, selling something outside of his house, and that white woman just starts calling the police.
Yeah.
And this has happened a few times.
Right, exactly.
It's like, you're literally, you know,
mm-hmm.
you know, because you live in the current America,
right.
you know that any interaction a black person has with a police officer can end in death easily.
Absolutely.
You know that by calling a police officer, you are drastically... you're drastically limiting the chances this child has of living a normal life, of living.
Yeah.
Like, you are seriously fucking someone over by calling the police right now.
And there's no excuse.
And there's no excuse! What, because a kid is fucking selling lemonade, you're gonna call the police? You're threatened by a child?
And I'm sure their white kids do the same thing.
Yeah, of course they do. You're literally threatened by a child. That's something that blows my mind, too. Like, did you see that Facebook group? I don't remember where it was. Of all of these parents talking about a good knife will take care of this trans kid we have at our school.
Oh, God. I think I blocked that out when that was happening.
Yeah. It was like, they're literally so threatened by a child.
Jesus Christ.
Like, these grown-ass adults do not care about the lives of these children. And that's the same problem we have with school shootings, right? Is that these people just don't care about the lives of these children. But it's especially fucked up when you're on an individual level and you're saying, I'm gonna play a personal role in calling the police and potentially getting this child murdered
yeah.
because what they're doing right now is an inconvenience to me.
God, that reminds me of... Ugh.
We need to put so many warnings in this episode.
I know. And it's gonna get bigger on this next story.
Head
up. In the land of white people being able to do whatever they want...
Yeah.
The... Catholic priest abused a thousand children in Pennsylvania. One, so my family, my mom is like strictly ex-Catholic, right? She was raised with it, was it met with like shit every step of the way, very purposely left the Catholic
yeah.
church, right?
So here's the thing.
Yeah, lay it out.
Here's the thing. You cannot have the world openly discover, as we did decades ago,
mm-hmm.
that the Catholic Church was purposefully organized to hide the abuse
yeah.
being committed on thousands of children.
Mm-hmm.
This was a conspiracy. We unearthed this decades
yeah.
ago.
Yeah.
That this was a literal conspiracy.
Mm-hmm.
That whether or not you were fucking kids or what,
yeah.
you knew about it.
Absolutely.
And you were doing something to hide it.
And every single person in that system should be burned.
And so that's the thing, is like, we knew that this happened.
Mm-hmm.
You set it all back in motion and you
yeah.
thought it wouldn't happen again.
You didn't change anything. They didn't even like...
You didn't even remove
away.
Some of these
no,
people.
Yeah, they just like
and
moved
you just,
them.
And that's the thing, is that they knew it was going to happen again.
Of
they,
course.
They knew, it's a systemic problem. They know people aren't going to stop doing it.
Yeah.
They know, they just don't give a fuck.
Yeah. So here,
And because they're old white men, they're allowed to do whatever they want, and because they're quote-unquote holy.
Absolutely. So this was 300 priests over a period of 70 years. And I think what really fucked me up about this story is that the priest would give these boys, I guess it doesn't specify boys. I just use that's usually what I think of it as.
Yeah, it's all children, basically. Yeah.
They give them...
I think what they've established, as far as from my understanding, it's like boys have a lot more shame.
Okay.
And they're less likely to talk about it.
And in the Catholic Church, young boys have a bigger role.
Yeah, 100%. It's like, it's such a big role where you're like, that's something so one of my top five favorite movies, it's super fucked up, but one of my top five favorite movies in the entire world is the movie Spotlight, about this entire thing, about the unearthing of the conspiracy in the Catholic Church to molest kids.
Yeah.
And one of the things that they talk about is like what you were just saying.
Mm-hmm.
Like what?
Yeah. And so, right. What I was saying, they would give kids these special cross necklaces, which would signal to the other priests, this kid isn't going to say anything. This kid is already broken.
That's so fucked up.
It's so fucking fucked up.
It's such a deep emotional relationship where you feel like, what they talked about in the movie is like, you feel like God is asking you to do something.
I do not doubt it at all.
That's the level of emotional manipulation we're going with here.
Yeah. I'm going to read some of the instances of the abuse. And if you don't want to hear it, you can skip ahead at this point. Are you okay hearing that?
Can we keep it short?
Yes, absolutely. There was a priest who raped a young girl in a hospital after getting her tonsils out.
Sure, why not?
A victim tied up and whipped by leather straps by a priest. And another priest who was allowed to stay in ministry after impregnating a young girl and arranging for her to have an abortion. This is from the New York Times. They can literally do whatever they want.
They can literally do whatever the fuck they want.
And this is rampant across the
nation. If there were, this is the only thing, it's like, we have an organization in the world that is so powerful,
mm-hmm.
and full of so much brainwashing power,
mm-hmm.
and just full of old white men,
right.
just run by old white men who have all of this power and authority to ruin people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
And because the system is so deeply entrenched in like the entire globe,
right.
we can't fucking do anything about it. You can bet if there was a society of black dudes
mm-hmm.
going around doing whatever the fuck they wanted,
Jesus.
Like, that wouldn't happen. That
no.
wouldn't be able to happen.
It'd be marked as a terrorist group.
No, but it's a completely different level of authority. Like the entrenchment
mm-hmm.
and deep history of the Catholic Church is unrivaled. It's unparalleled.
Right.
There's no other organization in the world that comes close to mirroring it.
Absolutely.
It's just you can't. There's no purer or more like concrete abuse.
Right, and you can see it mirrored in smaller cases all throughout the world, especially where religion has such a huge hold on people, because you're not just saying like, I'm telling you to do this, right? It's your only concept of morality and higher power that, you know, our entire community revolves around, right? Wants you to do this thing. Honestly, I don't know what the solution is without like eradicating religion.
Yeah.
It's too powerful of a tool.
It's just, so what I will say is I recommend the book Moral Combat by Armory Griffith, because it's just about like the Catholic Church's control over America.
It's so fun. And the world.
Yeah, the book is specifically about America,
but reach is worldwide.
But the reach is 100% worldwide. Fuck me, dude. All of this to say, we know that we go off on tangents, but all of this to say that, like, there are different consequences for people based off of their skin tone. Whether that's just as easy as you're ugly,
mm-hmm.
or, which is still really fucked up, right?
Right.
But just, or to the point of, you are so worthless to me. And to this society, that I can kill you and nobody will care.
And then no one cares.
I can commit a horrible, heinous crime against you that if I committed this against a white person,
mm-hmm.
I would be fucked.
Yeah.
But I can commit it against you because nobody will care.
Exactly.
That's the level we're at right now.
Right.
And we kind of snuck this in. We started talking about beauty and contouring, and now we're like,
it's a police state.
It's so venomous. It's so venomous. Like, that's the thing, is that it's not disconnected.
Mm-hmm.
It's all connected. The fact that we have Zoe Saldana and Zendaya and Beyonce
mm-hmm.
and see them as human is important
yeah.
to the way that we treat people that we don't see every day. Like, that's
right.
That's what I think is so important about the power of media, and, like, I could write a fucking book about this, but that's what I think is so important about...
Maybe we'll write a book.
Yeah. That's what I think is so important, is that, like, media is reflective of life. And
yeah.
when you have just everybody on TV is white, then you're telling everyone, well, these are just humans.
Right, or what characters are being presented by people of color.
Yeah, seriously.
And when you see them in your daily life, what's that contact?
What is that? How does that impress upon you, like, what people of color are like?
Right. Are they your bubba that you grew up?
Yeah.
Like, taking care of you? Is it, like, the
yeah.
person at the fast food restaurant?
Are you
or...
turning someone into your mammy? Are you...
Exactly. Or...
Are you over-sexualizing women,
mm-hmm.
Black women, because you see them played as sex workers on TV? Are you...
Right, the Jezebel? Or
yeah.
in India, is it literally, like, your caste and... the job that you have to do, let's say
yeah.
emptying latrines, is
yeah.
based off of how dark your skin color is.
Yeah.
And the only way to have upward social mobility...
is to change that.
Is to change that, right. Or just to have lighter skin to start
yeah.
with.
And so, to feel safe and to feel human,
mm-hmm.
I can understand why beauty trends would be more impressionable and say... well, just here, use these and you'll look more white or you'll look more
right.
mixed.
Right. Or this is what beauty is.
Yeah.
It reminds me of Professor Malaklu and what she was saying in a sex and power class that I took at Beloit College. And she was talking about what it was like to be like a young brown kid.
Yeah.
And be treated like a monster and like an animal.
Yeah.
And that... sort of the first time that she was getting more, like, lewd attention.
Yeah.
It felt like a compliment.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Right? Because she had been coded as a disgusting animal not worthy of love.
Yeah.
And then, even if that comes in the form of catcalling, right?
It's, yeah. I 100% understand that. I think that fat women go through something very similar.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, not on the same level.
Totally. Right? But it's like, then because of that experience, you have so many more mental blocks up that you have to even, like, get through before you can become more body positive,
yeah.
right? Or become...
there's a lot of things you gotta unlearn.
Mm-hmm. And, like, what does it mean to like your body when, like, it's not what the body positive movement is saying?
Yeah.
Right? Like, which so much of the time can be, like, you know, be fit, right?
Yeah.
And, like, you know, strength, but
yeah.
tight, right?
Yeah. And that's something that I think that we both feel really strongly, is that, like, you only learn by talking to people, and you only
yeah.
Learn and, like, expand your horizons and understand how people feel when you talk to them. And
mm-hmm.
It's really, I think that everybody who is in this social structure, because we have so many different layers
mm-hmm.
and pedestals, it can be, people can be very defensive and people don't want to listen. So
yeah.
you can say, well, there are dark skinned women who are treated horribly because of their skin tone. And you, as a light skinned black woman are like, have like some kind of light skinned privilege.
Mm-hmm.
You're still a black person, and you're still read as being a black person, but you're also seen as more attractive.
Right.
You're seen as more beautiful. You're seen as more worthy.
And then you get more benefits.
And you do get benefits from that. Like, one of our very first episodes, we covered pretty privilege.
Right.
And that's, like, a true thing, and you get more pretty privilege when you're light-skinned.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder how that works, actually. I would be interested to understand how, especially in America, how pretty privilege might work with, like, really tan white girls versus really pale white girls.
Right, but I wonder if that comes down to your ability to put it on and take it off at your leisure.
Oh, 100% it does. Like, the fact that you have the control to be or not be brown.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find, there's this amazing Instagram person that I follow.
Okay, can I recommend something since I want to... Yeah. Is your thing going to be sad?
I have two happy things.
Okay, I also have a happy thing.
Okay, you do your happy thing. I'll try to find
Okay,
it.
So there's this excellent little girl, and I want to find her name. The way that I know of this is catchphrase, slogan, whatever, called Flexin' My Complexion.
Oh, yeah.
And it's so, so good. I want to see if they have a About Me page so I can understand who they are. They don't. But it's this little girl who, she's genuinely a child, who thought, well, people are always giving me shit for how black I am.
Yeah.
And, you know, not being proud of my melanin, not being proud of my skin, not being able to love myself. So I'm gonna do something about it. And she turned it into a shop, and she turned it into, she's an entrepreneur, which is just so fucking cool. And it's something where it's like, I don't feel loved, so I'm going to make my own love.
Right.
And that is so inspiring to people who can't make their own love or who haven't been able to do so yet.
Right.
And at such a young age to say, I deserve love and I deserve respect.
Yeah.
And my skin is wonderful and I'm wonderful. Like, at such a young age to be able to do that, fucking props to her. Like,
honestly.
It's ridiculous. So it's, her name is Karis. Kheris. She's 11 years old.
Oh my god.
Can you believe that?
Fuck.
And she did this as a response to people bullying her at school.
Jeez.
She's bullied for her dark complexion. It's really, so there are really great videos and like interviews with her. But she's just turned this into an entrepreneurial opportunity.
Yeah.
And an opportunity to tell other girls who look just like her that it's okay and you're beautiful and you're worthwhile.
Yeah.
So that's really good.
Thank God. There is, let's see, a great hashtag that I stumbled upon while I was looking into, like, the skin whitening cream.
Is it melanin poppin' or no?
No, it's about, it's specific to India.
Oh, okay.
So, there's a cream called Fair and Lovely, which is one of the most popular creams in India for lightening your skin. So three girls who went to Texas State University created a play and then a hashtag on top of it, which is hashtag unfair and lovely. And it invites people with darker skin to share their photos. And then it sort of builds up this like positivity ripple effect.
Nice.
And then the person I was looking for, her name is Nabella Noor. Do you follow her?
No.
Oh, she's a... Amazing. You really have to.
Okay.
So she is a first generation immigrant from Bangladesh. And she just made a post today about like cyberbullying.
Nice.
Right. Because, you know, every single day people are like telling her to kill herself.
Yeah.
Because she's a fat, dark skinned woman.
Yeah.
And so.
Very low on the totem pole in America.
Honestly. So there's a new challenge, or maybe like a...
Trend, hashtag.
Yeah, called hashtag kiss and makeup, and it's sponsored by Tarte Cosmetics.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and so it's basically like, whenever you see hateful comments, you're supposed to comment like three kissy emojis.
Okay.
And like, that's just it. So it's like a visual representation of like support.
Okay.
And in an attempt sort of, like, drowned out the hateful comments.
Interesting.
And, like, be more of a presence.
I feel like for that to work, people have to know what it means, but...
Yes. True. I don't know. I feel like the intention here is, like...
It's very good, yeah.
Spread it, and then...
And then make it a thing, yeah.
And if anybody asks why you're posting it, respond with hashtag kiss and makeup so they can learn more about Tarte's efforts in taking a stand against cyberbullying.
Cool. Yeah, cool.
Which is
a really good method that I've heard for harassment is to not respond to the harassers.
Oh, which is so hard.
It's so hard, right? Because that's all I want to do.
And you want to know every single comment that somebody said about you.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I remember when my trauma from last year and when my name was in hundreds of people's mouths.
Yeah.
I wanted to know every bad thing that they said about
me. Of course. Of course. That's why, yeah, when I was in D.C. having my horrible semester, I wanted to know. I mean, most of them told me what they were saying about me, which was super fun, but...
You know, nobody at Beloit ever said anything to my face.
That doesn't surprise me. They're fucking cowards. They're all just... Everyone's very passive-aggressive.
Jesus. Well... We're going to take a little trip to Beloit.
We are. Let's talk about that for 2 seconds because we're already in an hour and a half. Our college is in a lot of debt. Our alma mater is in a lot of debt. So here's what I've been saying for years. When I was a sophomore at Beloit and I was an RA during RA training, the summer before my sophomore year, we talked to admissions and admissions told us, here's, you know, the makeup of the incoming class. Like here's like all the stuff we changed. And something they told us was that they removed the question from the application. Why Beloit? Why are you coming to Beloit? What about Beloit? Like,
it's a terrible idea.
That's what I'm saying. And so then what happened was people came to Beloit not knowing what they were getting into.
Right.
And had poor retention. Mm-hmm. Fucked off. They left after the first year. Right. And you don't make up that money. Like, when an enrolled student doesn't come back, you don't make up that money. You can't.
Right.
And so... it's just driving the college into more debt. And when that first happened, I was so angry. I was like, what's the point? Like, what separates us then from all the other liberal arts colleges that this person is inevitably applying to? Like, what is stupid. It's ridiculously stupid. If I had been in the room, I would have slapped them all.
You should have. And you still should. So, like, what makes it worse is, like, about a decade ago... when we had a different college president.
Yeah.
Basically, they built this giant science center.
Yeah.
And it cost like $1 billion.
It cost a ton of money. They built it without the money to do it.
Right. So they took out a lot of loans, and now it's sinking into the earth.
Yeah.
And basically, the amount of loans that they had to take out, they had to make sort of a deal.
Yeah.
Saying that they wouldn't loan out against the endowment anymore until they could pay off the science center.
Yeah.
And then the retention dropped, right? Then they were really not making up any of that money.
Yeah, they're super fucked.
And so now they don't have any pool to draw money
from. So last year they laid off dozens of professors. Mm-hmm. They also...
And they did that a decade ago, too. That was the big sweep. Yeah.
Oh, so well, they're doing it again.
Downsized.
So we've downsized again. For a college as small as ours, it's a very significant cut.
And what they're saying is, like... We're just adjusting to accommodate
how
few students
it's also,
are coming in.
So they did that. They also eliminated a lot of administrative positions. They just scrapped them. They don't exist anymore. And here's the thing. Well, maybe actually you can answer this question.
Okay, ask.
Because
ask away.
What I'm saying is professors have a provable impact and demonstrable benefit on the college and its students.
Yep.
Do you know genuinely what the job is that Scott Bierman does? Because I do not.
I do.
Great. Tell me.
Okay. So
Scott Bierman is the president of Beloit College.
Yeah. So his job is to fly around the country and impress people.
And for that, he gets paid $500,000 a year.
And he brings in donations to the college, right? He's who they call for big ticket donations and to go off. And when they were building the powerhouse.
I could do that.
He was.
Give me that job. Pay me $500,000 a year.
He was schmoozing with really big people who owned, a monopoly in the industry to qualify for certain tax breaks and tax grants. And, bargaining.
So he's the
deals.
PR person for Beloit. He's...
Exactly.
Okay.
And he makes them a huge chunk of cheddar. And, you know, part of their reasoning for paying so much is so that they can attract...
Yeah.
A client that has sort of the name recognition that he does.
Absolutely. Like, this is a problem that is relevant to all colleges, not just Beloit, that, college presidents are paid
a stupid amount of money.
But it was just like...
Isn't that what the president... What does the president of the United States get paid?
I was going to say they, but all of our presidents have been men, so he gets paid, I think it's something like $45,000 a year. It's, like, very low.
Really?
Yeah, it's, like, it's significantly low.
Oh.
And then, but Trump, I guess, is, not taking his salary, which doesn't matter.
Earn a salary of $400,000.
What?
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Well, I can understand you earn a certain amount of things with, like, engagements and other things like that, but
they earn
that's just the salary?
Yep. Along with the 50,000 annual expense count, a 100,000 non-taxable travel account.
What the fuck did I
think?
And
20,000 for entertainment.
All right, here's my pitch.
Hit me with it.
Everyone in an electable position should be paid the minimum wage.
Yep.
That's what I'm saying.
Sign me up.
Everyone in an electable position should be paid the minimum wage.
It's gonna rise so fucking fast.
It would rise so fast. It would be fucking $50 an hour. We'll find the money somewhere. Like,
oh, yeah. Because they can find the money for whatever they want.
I genuinely think that a really, really, really good way to make politicians more human would be to genuinely make every electable position, judges, the fucking president.
Oh, yeah.
Every electable position, minimum wage.
Yeah. So, basically, our alta mater. Did I say it right?
No.
Damn. All right. It's just going to be like that forever.
We had the same problem last time.
Yeah, we did. I don't know if that episode came out yet.
But, no, probably not. But our alma mater. Our alma mater is drowning.
It's not doing so hot.
And so they put together this committee to file this report about, you know, reasons why they think it's bad and reasons and things they're going to do to try to make it better.
Yeah.
One of these things being pumping more money into sports because fuck us, right?
We're making some pretty bad calls.
And so they're having a Q&A on Monday. So this episode will not be out by the time we go, but they're having an episode, they're having a Q&A, and Willow and I, they don't fucking own our asses anymore.
Exactly.
We got our degrees, we paid our bills, we're fucking done. So we're gonna roll up. We're gonna roll up and just shit on everything they love.
Although Scott still writes recommendation letters for me, so I'm gonna shit.
I'm sure he'll still write you a recommendation letter after you body slam him. Whatever, literally no one in that school, no one who still works there owes me anything. I don't owe them anything.
True. Yeah. Okay, well, I really have to pee.
Yeah, let's... please, I can do the sign-off if you want, if you really have to pee.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Okay. So please, first, thank you so much for listening. We hope that this episode hasn't been, too horrible. We are going to try to get into some lighter topics. You know, it's, a struggle with what we're doing because there's so much body negativity. So we're going to get into some lighter topics. We want to talk about some art soon. We'd like to talk about, you know, fat bodies and art would be something that we're interested in talking about. We're still planning our upcoming episode about cellulite that we think is super fun. There's so much coming down the pipes. Thank you guys so much for listening and for sticking through this ridiculously long episode. Please go on iTunes. If you're using iTunes to listen to this, please drop us a review. Reviews help us get noticed by other people and make our podcast come up sooner when you start searching for it, and gets us out around more people. Welcome back.
I'm here for the sign off.
Yeah, and it would be really, really great if you could go and you just have to tap stars. You don't have to type anything. If you want to leave us a written review, that would be so nice. Thank you so much. But you don't have to if you don't want to. You can just tap out of a number of stars. So please go ahead and do that. You can contact us through our Twitter, our Instagram, and our Facebook, all the handles of which will be in the description. If you go to our website, you can find on iTunes, it says podcast webpage or artist webpage or something like that. You can find us there. That's all. So until next time.
Fuck the patriarchy.
And take up space.